And we are now on. Okay, so today is the 22nd. I do remember that. And where are we? Well, we made great progress last time, mainly because there's very little, almost no information about either Ishmael or Isaac. Those are the two we just zoomed over. Speaking of Zoom, we finished up Abraham. And I guess we spent like three whole weeks, well, not all of 3 weeks, but 3 weeks on Abraham. And then, of course, we talked about Lot. There's quite a bit on Lot there because of the, you know, rain of, well, the Quran doesn't say rain of fire, really. It says, in one place it says, you know, God dumped a bunch of clay, you know, on the city. But anyway, slight variation of that. But then with respect to Ishmael and Isaac, Abraham's two sons, virtually nothing. Some of the prophets, you know, there are verses. When I redo my notes, I'm going to make it clear to myself. Some of the verses just, you know, reel off a bunch of names. Or maybe you'll have two or three verses just reeling off, you know, six or seven prophets. Of course, the ones that are interesting are not those, but the ones that, you know, provide a fair amount of detail on any given prophet. But in some cases, the only references in the Quran are in those verses that just tick off several names, and that's that. And that was the case with both Ishmael and Isaac. So we zipped through those, and we're going to zip through Jacob as well. So let me put on the Arabic or the transliterated Arabic names, though, at least. Let's see now. So Abraham is prophet number 6, and Lot is prophet number 7, and Ishmael is 8, Isaac is 9. So now we're down to 10. So we're making good progress. We got 25 altogether, but we're on number 10, and that'll be real quick. So this is...
Yaakov.
Yeah. And of course it's Jacob. And we're going to quickly move on from Jacob to and you know who that is, of course.
There's Yusuf el-Bidin. We'll probably get to Mohammed Tawfiq. Abdul Albert Bedin with his compatriot Kamala Harris.
Yeah, right.
Did you get that? I didn't.
Okay.
In English, it's more like Biden.
Right. All by Dean, yes. And another, yeah, right. Okay, let's talk about Jacob. And like I say, there are a total of, five references in the Quran. I'm just going to read one of them because they're all just like this one. And this one is in Surah 38, 46 to 48. And this is what it says. And remember our servants, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, men of strong hands and powerful vision. We chose them for a special purpose, reminding people of the abode of the hereafter. And truly, they are in our sight among the elect and the best. So, I could read the other four, but they're more or less like what I just read. So Jacob is just mentioned in passing. No stories at all with respect to him, at least in the Quran. And then, on the other hand, at the other extreme, we have an entire surah devoted to Joseph. And this is this one right here, and I don't know if you can read it, but it's the title is Yusuf. It's actually, there are just a couple of surahs what was the other one that we, it was, what was it, I can't remember now, that was, you know, entirely devoted to the one person. Was it Noah? I can't remember. But, oh no, it's Hud. That's what it was. Hud, I think, had a surah all to himself. And Hud, of course, is supposedly Eber, and Hud is connected with the people of Ad and that sort of thing. Well, Here we go. An entire surah. I'm going to start reading at verse 5, but it's going to continue all the way over to... all the way over to... My goodness. Oh, my goodness. 112. So I will read 108 verses to you. So remember the time when Joseph said to his father, "Oh, my father." Now, you'll have to remember all the details about the story of Joseph, or I should say stories of Joseph, because there are several in the Bible, consecutive, though. Remember the time when Joseph said to his father, "Oh, my father, I saw in a dream 11 stars and the sun and the moon, and I saw them making obeisance to me." He said, "Oh, my darling son, relate not thy dream to thy brothers, lest they contrive a plot against thee, for Satan is to man an open enemy. And thus shall it be, as thou hast seen, thy Lord will choose thee and teach thee the interpretation of things, and perfect his favor upon thee and upon the family of Jacob, as he perfected it upon two of thy forefathers, Abraham and Isaac. Verily, thy Lord is all-knowing, wise." Surely in Joseph and his brethren there are signs for the inquirers. When they said, "Verily Joseph and his brother are dearer to our father than we are, although we are a strong party, surely our father is in manifest error. Kill Joseph or cast him out to some distant land, so that your father's favor may become exclusively yours, and you can thereafter become a righteous people." One of them said, "Kill not Joseph." Now, that was Reuben, as I remember. I'm just going by memory here. Is that right, Reuben? You're the one who said, "Kill not Joseph."
Yeah, that was my namesake.
"Kill not Joseph, but if you must do something, cast him out into the bottom of a deep well. Some of the travelers will pick him up." They said, "Oh, our father, why dost thou not trust us with respect to Joseph, when we are certainly his sincere well-wishers? Right. Send him with us tomorrow, that he may enjoy himself and play, and we should surely keep guard over him." He said, "It grieves me that you should take him away, and I fear lest the wolf should devour him while you are heedless of him." They said, "Surely if the wolf devour him while we are a strong party, then we shall indeed be great losers." So, when they took him away and agreed to put him into the bottom of the deep well, they had their malicious design carried out. And we sent a revelation to him, saying, "Thou shalt surely one day tell them of this affair of theirs, and they shall not know." And there came to their father in the evening, weeping. They said, "Oh, our father, we sent forth racing with one another and left Joseph with our things, and the wolf devoured him. But thou wilt not believe us, even if we speak the truth. And they came with false blood on his shirt." He said, "Nay, but your souls have made a great thing appear light to your eyes. So now comely patience is good for me, and it is Allah alone whose help is to be sought against what you assert." And there came a caravan of travelers, and they sent their water drawer, and he let down his bucket into the well. "Oh, good news," said he, "here is a youth." And they concealed him as a piece of merchandise, and Allah knew full well what they did. And they sold him for a paltry price, a few dirhams, whatever that is, and they were not desirous of it. And the man from Egypt who bought him said to his wife, "Make his stay honorable. Maybe he will be a benefit to us, or shall we adopt him as a son?" And thus did we establish Joseph in the land, and we did so that we might also teach him the interpretation of things. And Allah has full power over his decree, but most men know it not. And when he attained his age of full strength, we granted him judgment and knowledge. And thus do we reward the doers of good. And she, you know who this is, in whose house he was, sought to seduce him against his will. And she bolted the doors and said, "Now come." He said, "I seek refuge with Allah. He is my Lord, and he has made my stay with you honorable. Verily, the wrongdoers never prosper." And she made up her mind with regard to him, and he made up his mind with regard to her. If he had not seen a manifest sign of his Lord, he could not have shown such determination. Thus it was, thus was it, that we might turn away from him from evil and indecency. Surely he was one of our chosen servants. And they both raced to the door, and she tore his shirt from behind, and they found her Lord at the door. She said, "What shall be the punishment of one who intended evil to thy wife, save imprisonment or a grievous chastisement?" He said, "She it was who sought to seduce me against my will." And a witness of her household bore witness, saying, "If his shirt is torn from the front, then she has spoken the truth, and he is of the liars. But if his shirt is torn from behind, then she has lied, and he is of the truthful." So when he saw his shirt torn from behind, he said, "Surely this is the device of you women. Your device is indeed mighty. O Joseph, turn away from this, and thou, O woman, ask forgiveness for thy sin. Certainly thou art of the guilty." So it sounds to me like, you know, Potiphar himself is believing Joseph. I guess that's the person that's just been talking. Let's see what happens. "And women in the city," it's been a while since I've read this, "and women in the city said, 'The wife of the Aziz seeks to seduce her slave boy against his will. He has infatuated her with love. Indeed, we see her in manifest error.' And when she heard of their crafty design, she sent for them and prepared for them a repast and gave every one of them a knife, and then said to Joseph, 'Come forth to them.' And when they saw him, they thought much of him and cut their hands and said, 'Allah be glorified. This is not a human being. This is but a noble angel.' She said, 'And this is he about whom you blamed me? I did seek to seduce him against his will, but he preserved himself from sin. And now if he do not what I bid him, he shall certainly be imprisoned and become one of the humbled.' He said, 'O my Lord, I would prefer prison to that to which they invite me. Unless thou turn away their guile from me, I shall incline towards them and be of the ignorant.'" Let's see now. So there, what's going on here? So clearly she's the guilty party. And then she has all these ladies together, and they then, for some reason, I don't know why, cut their hands. That's the footnote here. Cut their hands can be, this is an interpretation by the translator, I guess. "Cut their hands can be understood to apply literally or metaphorically, as this person mentioned both usages with reference to the use of this word. Here the literal meaning would be to sever one's hand with some sharp instrument. This obviously is not meant by the Holy Quran and is inconceivable in this context. As an alternative, some scholars have attempted to attribute a minimized action of cutting, indicating a few minor cuts, but the Arabic usage does not approve of it because the force and intensity of the root meaning in the measure of that does not permit this mild connotation. The only choice, therefore, is between the literal and metaphorical meaning, and we believe that this expression in the given context can only rightly be understood metaphorically, meaning that they accepted defeat by considering him inaccessible and beyond the reach of their hands." So that's the footnote in this edition. Ruben, are you reading this, the Quran? I mean, is that what you have in your hand? Oh! Okay. That's right, I forgot that you're the needle pointer. I thought you were following along. And let's see now. So they are then, I suppose, somehow signaling that he's inaccessible, because I guess they would like to seduce him too, I suppose. But the only thing that puzzles me, you know, so the wife, Potiphar's wife, says, "And this is he about whom you blamed me. I did see," and then confesses it. I sought to seduce him, but he didn't fall for it. And now, this is a strange thing. And I guess she's just asserting her authority here as the lady of the house, don't you guess? "And now, if he do not what I bid him, he shall certainly be imprisoned and become one of the humbled." And then he says, you know, "I'd rather go to prison than that to which they invite me." So I guess she's just pressuring him again, I suppose. Any observations? Okay. So, his Lord heard his prayer and turned away their guile from him. Verily, he is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Then it occurred to them, the men, after they had seen the signs of his innocence, that to preserve their good name, they should imprison him for a time. Okay. Maybe because of their wives. You know, I guess they all wanted, I get the, you know, the theme seems to be they all wanted, he's such a stud, I guess. They all wanted to seduce him, and he wouldn't have anything to do with that. And so they, you know, throw him into prison, and the men don't want to let it gotten out that what their wives, I guess, are up to, and so they go along with that. That's the way I see this, anyway. Okay, and then with him there entered the prison two young men. One of them said, I saw myself in a dream, pressing wine. And the other said, I saw myself in a dream carrying upon my head a bread of which the birds are eating. Inform us of the interpretation thereof, for we see thee to be of the righteous. Now, I did not have time to reread the Joseph story, or stories, I should say, in the Bible. Well, I never have time to do that, unfortunately. But, you know, indeed, when he was in prison, there were a couple of inmates who, who had dreams, and he interpreted their dreams. And I'm just trying to think of what, remember exactly. Okay, so the chief butler, let's see now. Yeah, so they say, this is back in Genesis 40, blah, 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 verse, I don't know, 8 or something like that. They said to him, no, I'm reading from the Bible, not the Quran. They said to him, we have had dreams and there is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not, interpretations belong to God, blah, blah, blah. What'd you dream? So the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. He said, in my dream, there was a vine before me. Okay, there we go. And on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. Oh, that's right. I remember this. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and do me the kindness, I pray you, to make mention of me to Pharaoh, etc., etc. Okay. Then the other was the chief baker. So that's the chief butler. This is the chief baker. I remember this. There's a pun at the end of this, I think. When the chief baker saw that the interpreter... I'm sorry, that was the chief... Well, okay, the chief baker, chief butler, the same thing. I'm sorry. Was favorable, he said... No, this is the other guy. Okay, sorry. When the chief baker saw the interpretation of the other guy's dream was favorable, he said to Joseph, because he thinks that, of course, he's going to have a good omen as well. I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered, this is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. That's right. I remember. He will lift up your head, literally. The first guy, you know, had his head lifted up, but that was honorable. The second guy, his head is literally lifted up. So anyway, that's what's going on in the Bible. So back to this. Where was I? So the first guy says, okay, he says, I saw myself in a dream pressing wine. And the other said, I saw myself in a dream carrying upon my head bread of which the birds are eating. Inform us of the interpretation. Therefore, we see thee to be one of the righteous. So this is all, you know, tracking pretty well. He replied, the food which you are given shall not come to you, but I shall inform you of the interpretation thereof before it comes to you. This is on account of what my Lord has taught me. I have renounced the religion of the people who do not believe in Allah and who are disbelievers in the hereafter. And I have followed the religion of my fathers. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Here's another reference to Jacob, right? We cannot indeed associate anything as partner with Allah. This is of Allah's grace upon us and upon mankind, and but most men are ungrateful. By the way, you know, this recurrent phrase that you find over and over in the Quran, there are no partners with God, you know, meaning Allah is the only God, unlike the polytheists of Muhammad's day, where there were partners. In other words, there were other gods, even though Allah was the supreme one. It's like Zeus plus Athena and you know, Poseidon and all the others. No, there's just Allah. And by the way, if I can just also mention this, later, when we finally get to prophet number 24, which is Jesus, that's also kind of part of that, because one of the things that you find references to in here and objections to is the doctrine of the Trinity, you know, and of course you have the Son and the Holy Spirit, who are, guess what, partners with God. So, I mean, I think there's some of that maybe as a sort of subtext as well. I mean, I know that Islam certainly accuses Christianity of being tritheistic in some senses. But we'll get there when we get there.
Don?
Yeah.
There's also the Muslim profession of faith.
Right.
There are no other gods but God. There are no gods but God, and Muhammad is his messenger.
Right. Yeah. And that's encapsulated in half of that profession as well. So, yeah, you know, and you can see where it comes from, obviously.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
So, where was I? So, my two companions. Joseph is still talking here. Oh, my two companions of the prison, are diverse lords better, or Allah, the one, the most supreme? You worship nothing beside Allah but mere names that you have named, you and your fathers, right? These other gods, they're nothing but names, they're nothing but words. Allah has sent down no authority for that. The decision rests with Allah alone. He has commanded that you shall not worship anything save him. That is the right religion, but most men know it not. Oh, my two companions of the prison, as for one of you, he will pour out wine for his Lord to drink. And as for the other, he will be crucified so that the birds will eat from off his head. The matter about which you inquired has been decreed. So the other one, well, crucified here. I was just checking that. And of the two, he said to him whom he thought to be the one who would escape, mention me to thy Lord. So that's also very much like the biblical account. I kind of skipped that when I was reading it, but yeah, after he's given the good dream prophecy or interpretation, he says, you know, keep in mind that, you know, remember you heard it here first. There's nothing that follows that is parallel to what's coming up in the Quran, at least not in this part. I tell you what. Let me digress for just a second and pick up where I left off in chapter 40 of the book of Genesis. So after the interpretation of the chief baker, the one that's going to get beheaded, on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief butler and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. So he didn't get crucified, he got hanged. Okay, fine. But then, yet, the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That's what I was wondering. And so the rest of this, I'll reread verse 43. And of the two, he said to him, whom he thought to be the one who would escape, mention me to thy Lord. But Satan caused him to forget mentioning it to his Lord. So he remained in prison for some years. So other than very small details. I mean, how does Chief Baker get executed? Was it by hanging or by crucifixion? Other than that, these two stories are pretty close.
Don?
Yeah.
The story of the prison is very close, but the story about Potiphar's wife is a lot more.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking about the prison story, but you're right. Yeah. The Potiphar's wife is a lot different. I mean, for one thing, Potiphar believes Joseph, but in the Bible, he believes his wife, right? And he throws Joseph into prison as a result. And the wife even confesses to her fellow ladies that she was trying to seduce Joseph. And then they kind of like the idea too, apparently. I guess that's what's going on. And so the men, who are, of course, the righteous ones and all these, you know, lusty wives of theirs, you know, they have to save face. I suppose that's what's going on. They have to save face. And so they then realize they falsely are accusing Joseph. But, you know, that's they got to do what they got to do kind of thing. I guess I take it that that's the way it goes. But,
right. I mean, in the Bible, it's very simple. I mean, Potiphar tries to seduce Joseph, and he resists, and she gets mad and claims that he was the one.
Right.
You know, propositioning her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Potiphar believes his wife and throws Joseph into prison.
Right. And there's no the other women and the cutting of the hands.
Exactly.
And all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yes, quite a bit different there. But
well,
then,
they can't have the prophet be a rapist, Don.
Well, neither story has the prophet a rapist. But, I mean, the differences revolve around Potiphar himself and then, well, and then as Pat said, these other women, where they come from. And then Potiphar's wife is absolutely open as to what she was trying to do, as are the other women, you know, and apparently it's the men who were sort of trying to save face and cover up and do that by throwing Joseph into prison. That's the way I take it. So, another variation on a theme. Okay, so he remained in prison for some years. Well, it didn't say some years in the Bible, but, you know, maybe so. And the king said, so here now the change of scenery. And the king said, I see in a dream seven fat kine, which seven lean ones eat up, and seven green ears of corn, and seven others withered. O ye chiefs, explain to me the meaning of my dream, if you can interpret a dream. Now that strikes me as very similar to the biblical account. After 2 whole years, so yeah, multiple years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came out of the Nile seven cows, sleek and fat, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, seven other cows, gaunt and thin, came out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the gaunt and thin cows ate up the seven sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep. And then he had a second dream. We'll get to that, I guess. So let's keep going. So this one, let's see, where was I? Yeah, seven lean ones devoured the seven fat ones. Got it. Where the heck was I? Oh, here I was. Yeah. And so, O ye chiefs, explain to me the meaning of my dream, if you can interpret a dream, which of course they can't. They replied, they are confused dreams. It's not our problem, it's your problem. You had a messed up dream. How are we supposed to be able to interpret that? And we do not know the interpretation of confused dreams. And he of the two who had escaped, who now, then all of a sudden, wait a minute, I remember. And who now remembered after a time said, I will let you know its interpretation, therefore send ye me. And then I guess he goes to Joseph. And next verse says, Joseph, O thou man of truth, explain to us the meaning of seven fat kine, which seven lean ones devour, and of seven green ears. Oh, that was right. That was the second dream. I'm sorry. Let me just go back to the Bible for a second. After the cows, I forgot about the second dream. Let's see now. And behold, let's see. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on the stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all his wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none who could interpret it to Pharaoh. Then the chief butler said to Pharaoh, "Well, I remember my faults today." When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own meaning.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Somebody needs to go on mute.
Well, yeah.
I'm feeling it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, listen, from yesterday. You know.
Can I call you back in a few minutes? I'm still...
Oh, we're
Diane, you need to mute.
I'm sorry, you're right. You have class full 10. I'll be back by then, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit later. Talk to you soon.
Diane, go mute.
Here we go.
Okay, now... Where was I? We dreamed on the same night, he and I. This I'm still reading from the Bible here. Each having a dream with his own meaning. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, and when we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted it to us, so it came to pass. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. So back to the Quran. Where am I? Yeah, so he had... 7 fat cows, 7 ones ate them up, 7 green ears of corn, and 7 others withered. Oh, ye chiefs, explain to me, blah, blah, blah. And they said, these are confused dreams. We can't explain confused dreams. And he of the two who had escaped, who now remembered after a time, he said, I will let you know. And he goes to Joseph. Oh, Joseph, thou man of truth, explain to us the meaning of the 7 fat kine, which the 7 lean ones devoured, and the 7 green ears of corn, and the 7 others withered, so that I may return to the people so that they may know. He replied, you shall sow for 7 years, working hard and continuously, and leave what you reap in its ear, except a little which you shall eat. Then there shall come after that 7 hard years, which shall consume all that you shall have laid by in advance for them, except a little which you may preserve. And then there shall come after that a year in which people shall be relieved, and in which they shall give presents to each other. Well, that's... Of course, absolutely, like the biblical account, right? Because when they came to Joseph, they told him, and he said, blah, blah, blah. He said, let's see. Oh, I'm and then Pharaoh sent them to Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, et cetera, et cetera. Then he says, you know, he tells Joseph, and he says, blah, blah, blah. I'm getting down to the... Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. In other words, both are basically the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 lean and gaunt cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God... has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after that there will be arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of that famine which will follow, for it will be very grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means, aha, now this is a little bit of a detail in the Bible, means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers of the land, and take the fifth part of its produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for the food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine, which are about to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. and Pharaoh liked the idea. So, you know, that all is very much, very much parallel. Let's see. Yes. Then she'll come after that a year in which people... Okay, right. And the king said, bring him to me. Of course, a little detail, though, right? This is the chief butler who goes to the prison and, you know, relates Pharaoh's dreams to Joseph, and Joseph tells the chief butler. Here, Joseph was brought before the king before the dreams were related, so the order of events is a little different. But the same general theme, of course. And the king said, bring him to me. But when the messenger came to him, he said, go back to thy lord and ask him how fare the women who cut their hands. Ah, back to them. For my lord well knows their crafty design. He, the king, said to the women, what was the matter with you when you sought to seduce Joseph against his will? They said, he kept away from sin for fear of Allah. We have known no evil against him. So they're at least truthful. The wife of the Aziz said, now has the truth come to light. It was I who sought to seduce him against his will, and surely he is the truthful. Joseph said, I asked for that inquiry to be made so that he, the Aziz, might know that I was not unfaithful to him in his absence, and that Allah suffers not the device of the unfaithful to succeed. And I do not hold my own self to be free from weakness, for the soul is surely prone to enjoying evil, save that whereon my Lord has mercy. Surely my Lord is most forgiving, merciful. This is almost like a divine grace idea here. I mean, it's almost Augustinian, you know, the way the flesh is weak, right? I am not free from weakness, but God in mercy, you know, basically kept me from participating in evil. And the king said, bring him to me that I may take him specially for myself. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know who Joseph is talking to in that previous couple of verses. But anyway, and when he had spoken to him, he said, thou art this day a man of established position and trust with us. Joseph said, appoint me over the treasures of the land, for I am a good keeper and possessed of knowledge. And thus did we, that is God, establish Joseph in the land. He dwelt therein wherever he pleased. We bestow our mercy on whomsoever we please. We suffer not the reward of the righteous to perish. And surely the reward of the hereafter is better for those who believe and fear God. I want to know what's happened to the women. I don't know if that, I don't remember if that, you know, ever comes out or not. It may not. But anyway. Okay. Okay so far? Questions? Comments?
So, Don, the essence of that story seems to be, with all its drama, to establish Joseph's credibility as a leader.
Yeah, and it's the same
in the
Bible.
And that's about it, right?
What was that?
And that's about it. I mean, because it's just a bunch of side drama where he ends up the winner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right. But that's very, very close to the Bible. I mean, there are, in this case, a few differences in detail, like chronological differences. But, no, the basic theme is the same. Yeah, and even the details of the dreams are the same.
Don?
Yeah.
In the Bible, both times that Joseph is interpreting the dreams, he takes pains to say that it's really not me, it's God.
Mm-hmm.
When he's interpreting in the prison cell, he says, do not interpretations belong to God, please tell the dreams to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of, you know, doing it on behalf of God. And then the same thing with Pharaoh, where he says, it is not I, God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. But I didn't hear that in the Quran. Maybe I...
It's more indirect, you know. Somewhere... brother, where was I? Hang on. Maybe it was back. Somewhere it did say something like, you know, God gave him wisdom and knowledge. Remember that? So I guess that sort of implies it's ultimately from God, even Well, let's see. Yeah, I don't. Nope. I don't see it, but I do remember reading that just a few minutes ago that, you know, God gave him wisdom and knowledge. So that sort of implies what you just said, although it's not. It's certainly not emphasized, and that's another.
Well, that seems to me like a different kind of thing to say that God gave him the knowledge and wisdom, and now he can do interpretation of dreams as opposed to. Joseph is just saying, kind of like, I'm not really doing the interpreting.
Mm-hmm.
It's God doing the interpreting. I'm just here to...
I'm just a mouthpiece.
Yeah, I'm just a mouthpiece, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe so. Maybe maybe the Bible is more emphatic on the impossibility of human beings pulling this kind of thing off. could be. Yeah, that's a good point. I still can't find that. I know I read it somewhere, but I don't see it. But okay, I'll let you. I think you're right on that. Okay. So Joseph is now in charge, and you know is in great honor in the land and so forth and so on. Now the scene shifts, because remember the next story, I think it is in fact the very next story in the Bible too, of course. I mean, it follows right on, right? After 7 good years, there's famine, right? And that's not just going to affect Egypt either. It's going to affect where his family is, you know, his brothers. And so they're going to wind up having to travel to Egypt to be able to eat. But it's very abrupt in the Quran. I mean, there's no transitional set of verses or something. So right after it just says, "Here and surely the reward of the hereafter is better for those who believe in your God," i.e. people like Joseph. And all of a sudden, very next verse, "And Joseph's brethren came and entered unto him, and he knew them, but they knew him not. And when he had provided them with their provision, he said, bring me your brother on your father's side. Do you not see that I give you full measure of corn, that I am the best of hosts? But if you bring him not to me," this is going to be the Benjamin story. "But if you bring him not to me, then there shall be no measure of corn for you from me, nor shall you come near me." They replied, "We will try to induce his father to part with him, and we will certainly do it." Don't you remember the first time they come and Benjamin has stayed behind and Joseph realizes that, of course, and insists that, you know, Benjamin be, you know, come. So that part is similar. And he said to his servants, "Put their money also in their saddlebags, that they may recognize it when they return to their family. Happily they may come back." And when they returned to their father, they said, "Oh, our father, a further measure of corn has been denied us, so send with us our brother, that we may obtain our measure, and we will surely take care of him." Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, they do, but they don't have a very good reputation, of course. He said, I cannot trust you with him, save as I trusted you with his brother before, but Allah is the best protector, and he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. And when they opened their goods, they found their money returned to them. And they said, "Oh, our father, what more can we desire? Here is our money returned to us. We shall bring provision for our family and guard our brother, and we shall have an addition, the measure of a camel load. That is a measure which is easy to obtain." He said, "I will not send him with you until you give me a solemn promise in the name of Allah that you will surely bring him to me unless you are encompassed." And when they gave him their solemn promise, he said, "Allah watches over what we say." And he said, "O my sons, enter not by one gate, but enter by different gates, and I can avail you nothing against Allah. The decision rests only with Allah. In him do I put my trust, and in him let all who would put their trust, I'm sorry, and in him let all who would put their, who would trust, sorry, put their trust." And when they entered in the manner their father had commanded them, it could not avail them anything against Allah, except that there was a desire in Jacob's mind, which he thus satisfied, and he was surely possessed of great knowledge, because we had taught him, but most men know not. Okay. And when they visited Joseph, he lodged his brother with himself, and he said, I am thy brother. So now grieve not at what they have been doing. Now that's a little bit different, isn't it? I don't think that Joseph revealed his identity to Benjamin separately from the brothers. I didn't reread the story in the Bible before class, but that's my memory. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's right. And when he had provided them with their provision, he put the drinking cup in his brother's saddlebag. And the crier cried, O ye men of the caravan, you have been guilty of theft. They said, turning towards them, What is it that you miss? They replied, We miss the king's measuring cup, and whoso brings it shall have a camel load, and I am surety for that. They answered, By Allah, you know well that we came not to act corruptly in the land, and we are not thieves. They said, What then shall be the punishment for it if you are found to have told a lie? They replied, The punishment for it, he in whose saddlebag it is found, shall himself be the penalty for it. Thus do we punish the wrongdoers. Then he began to search with their sacks before the sack of his brother, and then he took it out from his brother's sack. Thus did we plan for Joseph. He could not have taken his brother under the king's law unless Allah had so willed. We raise in degrees of rank whomsoever we please, and over every possessor of knowledge is one most knowing. They said, If he has stolen a brother of his land, if he has stolen a brother of his, had also committed theft before. But Joseph kept it, but if he has stolen, I guess Benjamin, a brother of his had also committed theft before. But Joseph kept it secret in his heart and did not disclose it to them. He simply said, You seem to be in the worst condition, and Allah knows best what you allege. I don't understand that one sentence I just read at the beginning of this verse. They said, I guess the brothers, or is it the...
Maybe they're talking about what they did to Joseph years ago.
They said, if he has stolen, a brother of his had also committed theft before. Theft?
Well, they stole him, and
Guess
they didn't steal the coat. They smeared it with blood,
right,
and threw him in a pit, and did something bad.
Maybe they're referring to their own, kidnapping, I guess, in a way, maybe of Joseph, perhaps. Maybe that's it. But Joseph kept it secret in his heart and didn't disclose it to them. He simply said, You seem to be in the worst condition, and Allah knows best what you allege. They said, O exalted one, he has a very aged father, so take one of us in his stead, for we see thee to be of those who do good. Of course, they were worried about what their father would say, right? I mean, their father said, You guys, don't have a very good reputation. You darn well better protect Benjamin. Look what happened. Pat, are you tracking in the Bible by chance? Are you looking? Pat?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought you said Patty.
Oh, no, Pat.
So,
do they say, let one of us... I think that's right, isn't it? Did you see
that? This is in Genesis 44, around 18.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're pleading to one of them is saying to take us instead of our younger brother.
Okay, all of them, all 10, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
Here it's just one of us, which would make sense, really. One. He replied, "Allah forbid that we should take any save him, with whom we found our property. For that, then we should certainly be unjust." Let me see how much. Oh, we're getting down to. Do I have time to get a little farther? I don't want to leave things at this stage, do I? And when they despaired of him, they retired, conferring together in private. Their leader said, "Know ye not that your father has taken from you a solemn promise in the name of Allah? And how before this you failed in your duty with respect to Joseph? I will therefore not leave the land until my father permits me or Allah decides for me, and he is the best of judges. Return ye to your father and say," this is Joseph talking, I guess, "O our father, thy son has stolen, and we have stated only what we know, and we could not be guardians over the unseen. And inquire of the people of the city wherein we were, and of the caravan with which we came, and certainly we are speaking the truth." He replied, "Nay, but your souls have embellished to you this thing, so now comely patience is good for me. Maybe Allah will bring them all to me, for he is the all-knowing, the wise." And he turned away from them and said, maybe this is Jacob talking. "Oh, my grief for Joseph," and his eyes became white because of grief, and he was suppressing his sorrow. They said, "By Allah, thou wilt not cease talking of Joseph until thou art wasted away, or thou art of those who perish." He replied, "I only complain of my sorrow and my grief to Allah, and I know from Allah that which you know not. Oh, my sons, go ye and search for Joseph and his brother, and despair not of the mercy of Allah, for none despairs of Allah's mercy, save the unbelieving people." Well, I will have to leave things at this unfinished stage. So, but that's good, because that means you'll come back next week and we can get to this exciting end of the story, which you already know the end of anyway. But maybe it'll be a little different from the one in the Bible. So,
they're all dead.
So we will quit for today. And see you next week.
Are we on a Thanksgiving schedule next week, or we're just on a regular schedule?
Yeah, why not? Why shouldn't we be? Everything's at 10 o'clock all the time anyway, so everything's the same. Yeah. All right. See you all next week.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, so, facts. The father talking. So I think I'll back up.